Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of Colorado Outdoors Magazine, annual State Parks issue, March-April 2024, read by John Arnold. Skate Park. Ice skating ranger Kelly Lewis showcases some of the unexpected fun that can be found at Colorado State Parks. Written by Dan England. Kelly Lewis makes it one of her missions as a park ranger to get people skating on the lakes in state parks. She has a lot of, well, let's call them ranger reasons for this. It's a way to get people to use the parks, it's a natural resource, and it gets people outdoors. But Lewis, admittedly, is also being a little selfish. Quote, "We've had some hockey as well," Lewis said. "That's my personal goal, so I can play," end quote. Lewis became the ice skating ranger for Colorado Parks and Wildlife by doing her patrols at 11 Mile State Park on ice skates. She even got some notoriety for it. TV stations did stories on her, and so did the Colorado Sun and other publications. But her origin story, if you will, as a skating superhero, started when she was a girl who played hockey. She loved to skate, but she really loves hockey. She has since transferred to Crawford State Park, and, as it turns out, every superhero has a weakness. Here is the weather. Crawford is 6,600 feet high. 11 Mile is nearly 9,000. Although 3,000 feet may not seem like a lot, it's the difference between a frozen lake for a good chunk of the winter and the soggy, unsafe conditions out at Crawford. Lewis can't be a responsible ranger and encourage patrons to skate on slush. She can't even do it herself. And Mother Nature hasn't exactly cooperated. Quote, "We've had strange, warm temperatures all over the lake," Lewis said, with a twinge of annoyance in her voice. "Even 11 hasn't had much open ice this year," end quote. This hasn't discouraged her from using her newfound fame, it's actually been a couple years, but superheroes live forever, to get people out on the ice. She's especially interested in teaching those who may not otherwise have the opportunity. She's working with a lot of other organizations in the area near Crawford to find ways to get kids in skates. She also set up a rink at Crawford near the Visitor's Center for them to play hockey, though again, it's weather dependent. Still, Lewis represents a new level of thinking, especially when it comes to ice skating. In the past, rangers would probably tell you to go nowhere near the ice unless you planned to fish it, and it was 6 feet thick. Many cities still don't allow ice skating, although some cities, such as Evergreen, do encourage it in specific areas. Denver Parks and Recreation hopes to accommodate it, even encourage it, on Echo Lake in the shadow of Mount Blue Sky as a part of its renovations and improvements to the area. But Lewis wants you out there too, as long as the weather cooperates. Quote, "Recreation is changing," Lewis said. "We should be encouraging people to get outside and utilize the resource," end quote. Winter is warming, but skating can be safe. There are black and white photos from the Denver Public Library that show residents skating at Evergreen Lake in the 1930s. Greeley has photos of residents skating on Glenmere Lake, the park that acts as the heart of one of the city's most historic neighborhoods, back in the old days. This demonstrates more than the fact that we were a little less restrictive back in those days. The climate has changed since then as well. Temperatures fluctuated back then too, of course, but it's harder these days to find sustained, bitter cold weather for thick, supportive ice. But Echo Lake is a popular stop along the scenic byway of Mount Blue Sky, formerly Mount Evans, which winds to a close just under the summit of one of Colorado's most popular 14ers. That means it's high, and it's colder up high. A lot colder, sometimes. That means more reliable ice. Ice is harder to come by these days, especially in winter, where it regularly reaches above 50 degrees, like the one we just experienced. It needs to be well below freezing and stay there for several days, even a week or more, for ice to reach the recommended thickness of at least 6 inches. Then it needs to stay that cold. Even one warm day can ruin things. And a blanket of snow makes it dangerous because skaters can't fully observe the ice and therefore can't see its weak spots. It's also much harder, if not impossible, to skate over thick snow. Ice skating can be especially frightening to rangers. Skaters tend to use the whole pond, or at least venture out farther than those who play hockey or fish, which are activities generally contained in one area. Some parks will even allow hockey or fishing, but not skating, because it's much easier to check the area where they will play or fish instead of the whole body of water. This is also crucial because it's easier to learn how the ice will form at one designated spot for hockey or a favorite fishing hole. Ice, just like the weather, can vary, but it also has patterns that can be mapped by those who know the water. Quote, "I knew general ice conditions," Lewis said, "but I had to learn my park, and I still had to learn the lake," end quote. Lewis hopes her efforts reach a population who may be hesitant to enjoy winter recreation, but want to give it a try. Quote, "I think we're finally reaching a crowd," she said, "that wants additional things to do in the winter," end quote. Safety tips. Number one, the ice should be at least 6 inches thick and clear. You can dig holes in the ice and measure it. Number two, the ice thickness and conditions can vary around the lake. Number three, ice near a structure, such as a dock and surrounding a branch or another object, will be thinner and probably dangerous. This is because the structure will absorb the heat and transfer it to the ice. Number four, ice near moving water will be thinner and probably dangerous as well. Number five, wear an inflatable life jacket, aka a float coat. Number six, never go alone. Number seven, bring an ice pick, a rope, and a whistle. Number 8. Look out for cracks, aka pressure ridges, and cloudy ice. Both are dangerous. Number 9. Ice in the center of the lake will be stronger than ice at the shore, so make sure you're off the ice by noon if it's warmer to avoid getting stuck. Number 10. Keep your pets leashed and avoid the temptation to go after dogs that fall through. Number 11. Check with the state park or other areas for up-to-date information on the ice. Other fun and different things to do in a Colorado state park. Here are some general information for parks across the state. The State Parks Passport Program. A passport booklet to keep track of how many of the state parks and 15 hatcheries in the state you visited. Once you visit them all, you can send it in for a prize. Go to cpw.state.co.us/passport. The Keep Colorado Wild Pass allows you to buy a $29 pass good for the entry into all state parks when you register your vehicle at the Department of Motor Vehicles, the DMV. Save 60% on an annual state parks pass. Go to cpw.info/passport for other information. State Forest, State Park. Moose Fest on Saturday, August 10th. Celebrate one of the best places to see moose in the state. Migratory bird watches behind the Moose Center in March and April. The park also has night hikes and is known as a place to see moose. Jackson Lake State Park. The only state park to have the International Dark Sky designation, making it a terrific place to see the night sky. Staunton State Park. The park hosts Marmot Fest in June as a way to celebrate its rich selection of alpine wildlife. The park also hosts a few night hikes every year. Highline Lake State Park. 18 hours of Fruta, one of the most beloved mountain bike endurance races on the western slope, takes place on Saturday, May 4th. Go to 18hoursoffruta.com. Lathrop State Park. Colorado's first state park is also the only one with a golf course. It also has two lakes, one for power boats and jet ski activities, and the other is a quiet water lake for paddle boats and fishing. Cheyenne Mountain State Park. The state park has glasses for guests who are colorblind, such as people who are colorblind to red and green. There are glasses for adults and children for two different variations of colorblindness. Mueller State Park. Regular night hikes with astronomy clubs who provide telescopes to watch the night sky. There are also special hikes in the fall to experience the mating rituals of wildlife, including bugling by elk that roam through the park. Ridgeway State Park. Beginners Fly Fishing Clinics on May 12th and 19th and June 16th, a paddling meetup on June 2nd, and full moon hikes throughout the year. Ridgeway should also get its certificate as a dark sky area this year, meaning it will be an excellent place for stargazing. Schweitzer Lake State Park. Waterfowl hunting, with blinds provided, takes place during the seasons. And finally, Crawford State Park. The Elk Challenge, a trail marathon race at the peak of fall colors to support the Nature's Connection Scholarship Fund, takes place October 5th. Ice Fest is also popular in the first part of February, as well as ice fishing, although this year the temperatures were too warm. Colorado Parks and Wildlife also has a calendar of events on its website, cpw.state.co.us, and most state parks have complete Facebook pages. Dan England is a freelance author and editor and a frequent contributor to Colorado Outdoors. This article is copyrighted by the author. Exploring State Parks in Winter. Article by Don Y. Wilson. Colorado has a diverse array of state parks. From the high elevation parks full of thick forests and massive peaks, like State Forest, to the parks on the eastern plains, like North Sterling, that create diverse habitat for an otherwise challenging region of a dry, often windy landscape, to the parks preserved for their unique natural features and wildlife corridors like Fisher's Peak. Many of these parks see the bulk of their use in summer, but if you venture into their forest, wetlands, and prairie habits in winter, there can be a lot of quiet, serene moments to connect with nature. These six parks are just a few of the 43 across Colorado that offer ice fishing, camping, snowshoeing, and scenic beauty for photography during the cold, snowy months of the winter. Rifle Falls State Park. Located just 14 miles north of U.S. Interstate 70 near the town of Rifle, Rifle Falls State Park is one of the smallest state parks in Colorado at just 48 acres, but is home to the only easily accessible triple waterfall in the state. Any time of year can offer exceptional photograph opportunities. Lilacs in the spring, lush green vegetation in summer, and fall color in autumn. But visit on an exceptionally cold day in winter, and the spray from the water coats everything in a thick layer of frost and ice, reminiscent of the crystallized world of Superman's home planet of Krypton. East Rifle Creek cascades over an 80-foot limestone cliff. After the town of Rifle constructed a hydro plant along the creek, the water flow changed directions, split into three falls, and then reformed into a single flow creek in the pool below the falls. This otherwise dry habitat becomes an oasis, thanks to this constant flow of water. As the temperatures drop, the water, which flows all year on the falls, hardens into dramatic spires of blue ice. Wear a pair of foot traction devices and bring a flashlight or headlamp to enjoy the trail down to the limestone caves past the falls. In addition to the unique geologic features, Rifle Falls State Park also offers winter camping and visits to the nearby fish hatchery. Steamboat Lake State Park. Heading north from Rifle, we'll take winter explorers to Steamboat Lake State Park. Located about 30 miles north of Steamboat Springs, this expansive park is framed by the peaks of the Elkhead Range, including the nearly 11,000-foot Hans Peak, and bordered by the pristine Route National Forest. As one of the most diverse state parks for winter recreation, Steamboat Lake provides different experiences for anyone looking to enjoy the snowy sceneries of the winter season. And at 8,100 feet, and one of the northernmost parks in Colorado, good snow can last well into May. Snowmobilers can venture onto more than 140 miles of snowmobile trails or other motorized portions of the park. Nordic skiers can glide along nearly 6 miles of groomed, non-motorized beginner and intermediate trails within the Ski Touring Center. Nearby Pearl Lake State Park also offers backcountry and cross-country skiing opportunities. A trail for snowshoers heads out from the visitor center. Looking for a winter camping experience? Try renting one of the cabins, yurts, or electric hookup sites offered at Steamboat Lake. But one of the most popular winter activities happens out on the lake. As 3 feet of snow can build up on top of the 15 inches of ice on Steamboat Lake, ice fishing draws people from near and far to try their hand at catching sizable rainbow trout. Be sure to bring the right drill for penetrating that thick ice and a warm mug of coffee as you wait for the fish to bite. St. Vrain State Park. A little closer to the populated Front Range, St. Vrain State Park on U.S. Interstate 25 in Longmont offers another popular ice fishing location as well as a wealth of watchable wildlife. Well stocked with fish, this state park includes 11 ponds open for fishing, including ice fishing when conditions allow. Potential species include walleye, bluegill, channel catfish, sunfish, perch, largemouth bass, and several others. During warm winters, or on the edge of the winter season when the waters are open, this park is also an excellent destination for bird watching. A wide variety of winter ducks, including northern shovelers, gadwall, common goldeneye, green-winged teal, bufflehead, and bald eagles take advantage of the ponds in this urban setting. And visitors can't beat the view of Long's Peak and Mount Meeker, also known as the Twin Peaks, looming in the western sky. Sunrise and sunset both offer excellent chances for enjoying the distant mountain scene and silhouettes of the leafless cottonwood trees against the colorful sky for photographs. This park also offers 87 campsites for winter camping, many with hookups. Golden Gate Canyon State Park. Nestled into the forest and surrounded by mountain peaks just 30 miles west of Denver, Golden Gate Canyon State Park is another of Colorado's distinctive state parks. With elevations ranging from 7,600 to 10,400 feet, the winter opportunities are vast and numerous in this 12,119-acre park. Surrounded by Roosevelt and Arapaho National Forests, this park takes you quickly into remote backcountry territory within a drive of 2 hours or less from Denver, Boulder, Colorado Springs, or Fort Collins. Snowshoeing is the big winter draw at this park. More than 35 miles of trails beckon adventurers wanting to stomp into the snowy forest on snowshoes. Trails like the moderate 2.6-mile Raccoon Loop or the more strenuous 4.1-mile Burro Trail that leads to the top of Windy Peak for 360-degree views of the surrounding mountains are sure to get the heart pumping. There are also two short nature trails near the visitor center that are ideal for a quick visit or for children. For the truly adventurous, rent a cabin or yurt or stay in the campground for an overnight stay at the park. Keep in mind that services are extremely limited, and this park does experience very cold and snowy evenings. Note that there are several access points for trailheads, so review a park map prior to visiting to identify the correct location, as there is little cell service at the park. Lake Pueblo State Park. For those looking to avoid the snowy conditions in winter for fishing or to observe Colorado's winter avian residents, visit Lake Pueblo State Park. Located about 10 minutes west of Pueblo, this park is one of Colorado's busiest in the summer, but reverts to a peaceful natural setting in the winter. Due to its southern location and lower elevation at 4,900 feet, the park also experiences a mild climate throughout the winter. Because of these comfortable conditions, Lake Pueblo often experiences open water throughout the winter, giving anglers an opportunity to fish from the 60 miles of shoreline or from the deck of a boat out on the water. With views of the 14,115-foot Pikes Peak looming in the western sky, Lake Pueblo offers a scenic vista at a lake that attracts winter ducks and a variety of birds of prey for the birder. The South Marina offers an ideal location to look for wintering waterfowl, including pie-billed, horn, western, eared grebes, red-breasted mergansers, common golden eyes, and common loons. Birders have also reported seeing various mountain bird species like mountain bluebirds, American pipits, horned larks, and white-crowned sparrows at the sailboard area on the north shore of Lake Pueblo. Birds of prey, including red-tailed hawks, Great horned owls and bald eagles are also common throughout the park. John Martin Reservoir State Park. For those looking for unique winter wildlife opportunities, head to John Martin Reservoir State Park in early February. Each year, more than 30,000 snow geese migrate through this area, stopping over to bulk up for their journey to the Arctic, where they breed every summer. This destination is like no other for witnessing flocks of birds in Colorado. After roosting overnight on open water, these geese venture out into the cornfields and the surrounding areas. As they decide to take off in unison, either to escape a stealthy predator, evade an aerial attack from a bird of prey, or to feed in another area, they explode into a mass of birds. The eruption of thousands of birds at one time fills the ears with raucous, synchronous honks and flapping wings. This swirling, noisy mass of white and black looks like one of the most dysfunctional methods for flying, but they, surprisingly, do not fly into each other. Sit and watch for a while to experience this explosion of birds over and over again. Bar Lake State Park in Brighton and Jackson Lake State Park near Sterling also attract handfuls of migrating snow geese in February, but not in the numbers seen at John Martin Reservoir State Park. To see a complete list of state parks in Colorado, including information about winter activities, fees, accommodations, visit cpw.info/parks. Don Y. Wilson is a full-time photographer and writer specializing in photographing and telling the stories about wildlife of the high altitudes of the Rocky Mountains. Find out more at DawnWilsonPhotography.com. This article is copyrighted by the author. Three Wild Mice, written by John Anglin. When we think of a mouse, we typically think of a kitchen-raiding vermin or a novelty pet sitting in a cage. These mice, the wild house mice that thrive in urban ecosystems and the domesticated mice kept as pets and research subjects, are the kind we see most often. Mice, however, are much more diverse than they typically get credit for. Once we leave our cities and towns and explore more natural habitats, mice become more varied and, frankly, weirder. In Colorado, three species stand out as the most strange and fascinating. The northern grasshopper mouse looks like an ordinary rodent, but has the heart of a lion. About 90% of its diet is animal protein, and its prey includes grasshoppers, crickets, scorpions, beetles, and even other mice. It hunts at night, lurking in dry, sandy habitat under the cover of darkness. When it detects a prey insect, the mouse darts towards its victims and pins the insect to the ground with its mouth and front feet, its jaws delivering a forceful, lethal bite through the brain of its prey. Along with their carnivorous diet, grasshopper mice have many other characteristics normally associated with big predators. They hold large territories compared to similarly sized mice, often exist at low population densities, and both parents take care of the young. Relative to other mice, they spend more time under their parents' care, possibly to master complex hunting techniques. Perhaps the most shockingly predator-like quality of the grasshopper mouse is its vocal repertoire. It makes rapid, bark-like sounds during aggressive encounters and when pursuing prey. To attract mates and maintain territories, it stands upright, nose turned up and mouth agape, and delivers a long, whistle-like howl. Upon exiting its burrow after darkness falls, it releases this piercing, swelling call into the night as if announcing its prowl of the grasslands. Crickets, beware! In some of the same dry habitats, another peculiar mouse emerges at night. This mouse doesn't echo predator traits, but those of a familiar Australian mammal. Ord's kangaroo rat moves by saltation, otherwise known as hopping. Like kangaroos, it hops forward using its hind feet, while keeping its smaller front paws close to its chest and its tail held off the ground. This kind of movement allows for quick, evasive maneuvers when a predator attacks. If there's no time for flight, The kangaroo rat uses its hind feet to kick sand in the predator's face as a means of escape. Kangaroo rats are an important part of grassland environments in Colorado, serving as a key food source for the endangered kit fox. In these dry habitats, water is rare, but it's no problem for kangaroo rats. They can make their own. Chemical reactions that occur during their digestion produce water as a byproduct, making enough moisture to sustain them in arid conditions. There may not be much water to drink in these grasslands, but there's plenty to be made if you're a kangaroo rat. Kangaroo rats are common. With a flashlight and a keen eye, you may spot one bounding between sagebrush bunches on a nighttime walk in the San Luis Valley. Grasslands aren't the only habitats in Colorado with a strange leaping rodent. Densely vegetated riverbanks are often home to Preble's meadow jumping mouse. These mice have yellow-brown to gray fur with white underbellies, tails more than twice the length of their bodies, and long hind legs. Another nighttime forager, they climb up stalks of grass with ease to feed on seed heads and are adept swimmers. When threatened, they take a few big, aerobatic leaps toward a hiding spot and remain completely still until their predator abandons its pursuit. Preble's is a subspecies of a meadow jumping mouse, a species found across North America with many bizarre characteristics to bear. They can live up to 3 years, longer than many small mammals, but spend most of their lives in hibernation, remaining dormant and subsisting on stored-up body fat for 7 to 8 months out of the year. They rely on grass and forb-thick riparian ecosystems, which are common in many places, but unusual in Colorado's overall dry landscape. Preble's are found only in Colorado and Wyoming and is listed as threatened by the state of Colorado and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Because they rely on riparian oases, these mice have limited options in Colorado, making habitat conservation important for their survival. For meadow jumping mice, habitat is a scarce, precious commodity. Mice may be food-snatching pests, wheel-running pests, and ubiquitous lab animals, but there's so much more. Next time you see a quote-unquote normal mouse, think of the ones that howl at night, make their own water, hibernate for most of their lives, and make us realize that mice are weirder and wilder than they seem. John Englund is the CPW Wildlife Viewing Education Specialist. Thank you for joining us for the Colorado Outdoors Magazine, read by John Arnold.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.